So, I want to talk about two major hindrances to prayer and fellowship with God. And I plead with you to listen, because this thing robs Christians of everything. Back there, some people are talking, even as I'm talking. I want you to listen to me. What I'm saying is important. Can I hear amen? Please listen. I'm begging you to what? Listen. It will help you. Two major hindrances to prayer and fellowshipping with God. Two of them are, number one, evil conscience. Number two, evil heart of unbelief. These two things will rob you of healing, rob you of everything, mess up your life. Evil conscience and evil heart of unbelief. Two of them. Number one is what? Say it louder. Number one is what? Evil conscience. Number two is what? Evil heart of unbelief. Let me repeat it. Number one is what? And number two is what? Now, evil conscience gives rise to evil heart of unbelief. Both of them are terrible. You don't want to get around them. Both of them. Now, the Bible warns us about them. And in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12, Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12, it says, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you, what? An evil heart of, what does it do to the person? In departing from, it separates you from God. It doesn't build fellowship at all. Just parts you away from God. And the Bible warns us seriously about it. It says, take heed. In New Living Translation, it says, be careful then, dear brothers and sisters, make sure that your hearts are not evil and unbelieving, turning you away from the living God. It turns a man away from God. It doesn't build fellowship. You go to pray, but your heart is away from God. That prayer is a waste of time. It turns a man away from God. The Holy Spirit warns us, be careful now, be careful now, take heed now. And then in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22, it said, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance. I'm reading New King James Version. Yeah. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. In full assurance of what? So when you draw nigh to God, you must come in full assurance of faith. In full assurance of faith. In full assurance of faith. Not with evil heart of unbelief. Having our hearts, what? Sprinkled from an evil conscience. You see, they are brothers. Evil conscience gives rise to evil heart of unbelief. And our bodies washed with pure water. And the thing has a simple solution. The simple solution is to understand the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. It solves all this problem. To nurture your faith, nurture your conscience on the truth that is found in Christ. It solves the problem. Now let's look at even the importance of fellowship with God. It is very important to a Christian that anything that will hinder us from coming before God will hinder us not only in our prayer, but in our fellowship with God. Anything that will affect your fellowship with God, will affect your prayer, will affect everything you do with God as a Christian. Anything that hampers that fellowship cuts you off from your source 24/7. Cuts you off. And the way we walk with God, the way you walk in step with God every day of your life is by fellowship. It's by fellowship you walk in step. You step in step in step In step. As he walked, so you walk. The Bible says if you believe in him, the way he walked is the way you walk. He walks first, you walk. You walk in tandem. What is tandem? You walk in tandem. What is tandem? Step by step. In fellowship. In what? Fellowship. That's the way you live your life 24/7. Anything that separates you from that fellowship, that makes you depart from that fellowship, will leave you in a terrible disadvantage as a Christian. Not only will it affect your prayer, but it will affect everything you do as a Christian. Number three is that's how we walk in the will of God. As we walk in fellowship with him, that's how we walk in the will of God, because he walks in the truth, so we walk in the truth with him concerning every affair of our life. Who to marry, what to leave, the job to do, whether we'll accept the job, don't accept the job. You walk in tandem with him. You walk in perfect will of God. You just walk with him, and you're sure that where he is where you are. And that's how we're able to live as sons of God in every area of our life. You see, all the three, church, I want you to listen to me. I'm begging you. You see, all the six redemptive blessings we were talking about, and all the three benefits, all the three aspects of freedom that Christ gave us, you are not going to walk in them except you walk in fellowship with the Holy Spirit. I don't care what you do. You're not going to experience them except you walk in fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Because he's the one that came to administer all this things, to reveal it to you and to make it happen. He watches over his word to what? Perform. But you have to be in agreement with him. For two cannot walk together except there is what? And there is another person who wants your agreement. It's called the devil. And the flesh. And the world. You walk in those three. You walk in darkness. You walk. There's no fellowship. There's no fellowship. And brethren, because without him we can do nothing. We need, the songwriter got it. He said, I need thee every hour. Tell your neighbor what I said. Can we consider some of these scriptures that talks about the benefit of this intimacy? You see, the church does not understand the gospel very well. So we think that living Christian life is living like Judaism. 10 commandments, let me obey. That's not the way it works. It doesn't work that way. You can't discount the Spirit of Christ. You cannot. Without him, you can do absolutely what? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. And so let's look about this. Look at this intimacy in John 10:14. John 10:14. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and I'm known of mine. And then he illustrates his father. As the father knoweth me, even as I know, even so I know the father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. He's talking about intimacy here. He's talking about deep fellowship. This knowing is not on the surface knowing. Do you know Jesus? Yeah. Do you love Jesus? Yeah. Those are cheap words. He's talking of knowing him intimately, described by him in another way. He said, if you have seen me, you have seen who? My father. I and my father are one. We are so intimate, you can't tell us apart. That's what it means. That's what Jesus is talking about. He says, as my father knows me and I know my father, he said, the same way my sheep, I know my sheep, and also what? So you can't tell us apart. You cannot tell us apart. We are so intimate. We are so joined. We are so in communion. We are so in tandem. We are so in matching together. We speak the same word. We do the same things. You cannot tell us apart. That's what Jesus is talking about. In John 10:27, talks about the intimacy of recognition of voice. My sheep hear My what? No, you say many Christians. I say, how do I know God to me? How do I? You just know immediately there's a major problem going on. That's how you live your life every day. If all of a sudden you don't know how to know who to marry, you have a problem. Because you should have known. That's how you live your, you've been living your life like that now. So knowing who to marry becomes a normal thing you should know without a lot of difficulty. So that's the way you live your life every day. John 10:27. My sheep hear what? That's a certain statement. It didn't say my sheep may hear. It said no, they hear. It doesn't make you super spiritual because God speaks to you. That doesn't make your children super spiritual because you talk to them. It's a relationship issue. It calls it my sheep. They hear my voice. And I know them. And they do what? Did you see the sequence? The sequence is they must hear my voice. And I know them. Then they are now able to what? Follow me. That's how you live your life every day. That's how I live my life every day. And again, it talks about the intimacy of voice, where you can tell his voice from any other one. And that's why I say the voice of the stranger, they will not hear. They get so intimate with my voice that when the stranger speaks, they know this is not my, it's not my master. I'm not following this one. I'm not following this one. Praise the Lord. That's what he's talking about. And I'm begging you to listen to me. Because there's a lot of confusion in the body of Christ. People make decisions that is obviously the flesh, some of them demonic. And they get ruined by it with time. Even as you serve Jesus in this church, you know that the decisions you make and how you serve Jesus has serious consequences in your relationship with him. You don't even understand how it affects you. Affects your life, your daily life with him. He says, for instance, if you are not faithful in the letter, I'm not promoting you. That's what he said. Case closed, end of the matter. If you like, do 40 days fasting, it keeps quiet. He said, if you're faithful in the one I gave you. He said, if you're not faithful in another man's, who will give you your own? He has finished talking. It's up to you. You can handle your Sunday school the way you like. this is the way you like. Feel comfortable in it. I'm doing 10 jobs, 20 jobs. He just keeps quiet. Just watching you. He just be watching you. Because there'll be a point in your life where you need those things and it won't be there. It won't be there. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. So this is very important. If as a husband, as a wife, as a child, I was talking to one of our youth, very awesome boy. I love talking to him. I said to him, God has secrets. He reveals to those who honor him. I said, there are levels of revelation God gives you. And some of his secrets are foolish. But it will make you a king. It will make you a king. It will make you reign. See, God has secrets. He said, the secrecy is the glory of God. He keeps it to himself. The things you struggle with, God can give you one simple secret of revelation. That thing turns around in 1 second. But because you don't care about his fellowship with him, actually evil heart of unbelief and evil conscience have torn you apart. You won't hear, you won't understand. Doesn't God talk to you about your offering, your tithe? I'm telling you, if you walk in, he will tell you. He will talk to you. I sat in church one time. He said, you are giving me the same thing for how long now? Have I not blessed you? I said, Lord, you did. He said, why is your offering not gone up? He said, I've upped what I gave you, but you have not upped what you gave me. He said, you are giving me the same thing. And I looked at this. I'm like, wow, that's true. He said, have I not blessed you? I said, Lord, you have. He said, then you have to up what you give. He said, number two, you are not walking in unbelief. Because faith believes and acts. If you believe I blessed you, act like I blessed you. Act like I blessed you. Yeah. I'm not telling you, every aspect of our life, the way you talk to your wife, you talk to children, even relate with people, I will talk to you about all of it. Everything in your job. Sometimes he will tell you things that will happen in your job. You see it unfold. You are like, wow. But we joke with these things. We don't know the value of them. We think, me, I go for school. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. This is the key to following. Intimacy. 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 In what? Intimacy. To be able to discern his voice separate from your own wisdom, your own word, your own feeling, the way you want to do some things. You should be able to separate your own voice, the things that are coming from you, from the things that is coming from him, so that you put your flesh under. You don't let your flesh control you, because you need to know, did you know the flesh talks? And it talks in the things that is reasonable, you know. Ah, you have to take care of this. Is he you? When did you start taking care of yourself? He puts your life into your hand. That's what the devil does. But you come here and sing, I put my hands in your hands. He said, okay, did you? He said, yeah, okay. Come to church early. We're not going far. Teach Sunday school for me. Lord, this life, that thing I sang that Sunday, I'm not sure I meant it. Let me now tell you how we do. No, I'm going to take care of my life. And God says, okay, you handle it yourself. Because he says, the only thing that I take care of is what he committed what? Into my hands. You see where frustration comes. 40 days dry faster, and you don't need all of that. Because he will do what he said. Can I hear amen? He will do what he said. If he's leading you there, he will be in front. Look at John 10, 4. And when he put forth his own sheep, what does he do? He what? Come on, church, he what? So if challenges come, what does challenge meet first? Him. He said, my fear will go before you. My fear will go before you. I'll go before you. He goes before them, and the sheep follow him behind. For they know his voice, and the stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him. For they know not the voice of strangers. That's what fellowship does. And then this voice says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are sons of God, which means that's what makes you live their life as a son of God, living all the sixfold privilege John gave you as a child of God. All of it. Can I hear amen? But evil heart of unbelief, evil conscience, we tear this fellowship apart. So we make you depart from the living God. Now, part two of this thing. This fellowship we are talking about, whether it's, you know, when you go to pray, it's really an enactment of fellowship. Is this something? If anything can hamper your fellowship with God, it will follow you to your prayer closet. They're not different. So now, as we talk about this, we're also talking about prayer. So this fellowship with God is based only on one thing, not two. If you want to have continuous fellowship with God, I want you to listen to me. It is based entirely on one thing. Church, my brothers and sisters, don't negate the Bible. God told us the truth. It's based on one thing. If you want to have fellowship with God 24/7, can I hear amen? It's based only on one thing. It's based only on faith in Christ Jesus, period. Nothing else. You create another thing, that's evil heart of unbelief. You create your self-righteousness, that's evil heart of unbelief. And that conscience you have there will always be evil, because that conscience will never be strong to come before God, because you are basing your movement on you, which is faulty. You have a lot of fault. You will never have a good conscience. Never. Romans 1:17. New Living Translation. Are you following me? If you are following me, shout hallelujah. Romans 1:17. This good news is the good news of the gospel. I told you the key is to understand the gospel and believe it. Believe the gospel, that's all. This good news tells us how God makes us right with in his sight. How does God accept me? How does God make me right in his sight? That when I come to pray, he accepts me. 24/7, I'm in fellowship with him. He makes us right in his sight. This is accomplished from start to finish by... you didn't read it with me. Okay, let's read it. Let's start. Let's go. One, two, go. This good news tells us how God makes us right in his sight. This is accomplished from start to finish by what? As the scripture says, it is through faith that a righteous person has only through faith in Christ. Nothing else. Nothing else. Because it says, evil heart of unbelief is a heart that will not walk in faith. So that heart will separate you from God. Moreover, Jesus told us, nobody cometh unto my Father except by me. He is the mediator. He is the joining. He is the route. He is the narrow way, the scripture talked about, that many won't find. He is the narrow way that leads to God. The broad way is all these things that all people do. Ephesians 3:12. Can we read Ephesians 3:12 together? Let's go. Because of Christ and our faith in him, we can come boldly and confidently into God's presence. Is it come once or continuously be there? Continuous. Because of what? Because of Christ and what? Our faith. It's because of Christ and faith. It is because of Christ and our faith in him. My brothers and sisters, I need to repeat this. Self-righteousness is dangerous and the devil uses it to devastating effect. It is because of Christ and our faith in him, we can now come how boldly and confidently to the presence of God. It's not because of anything you do. Nothing you do will bring you there. Nothing I do will bring me there. And let us understand how it works. Let me try, by God's grace, to explain it to us so we'll be able to understand it and accept it. We need to go back to the shadows. The Old Testament is what God used to illustrate things of the Spirit that will happen in the New Testament, so we can have something we can look at, so we can understand it. And so, in the Old Testament, let's see how God accepted them in the Old Testament. How come that God accepted them? What did God tell them to do? If you do this, I will accept you. So let's look at Leviticus chapter 1. From verse 1. The Lord called to Moses out of the tent of meeting and said to him, say to the Israelites, when any man of you brings an offering to the Lord, he shall bring... Okay, Lord, I need to go back. All right. Listen to me. The only reason I come before God, I have fellowship with God, is because of my faith in who? But it is that fellowship with him that makes me walk in his will. See how important it is? It is that fellowship with him now that makes me walk in steps with him. So that fellowship that I have with him makes me do his will. Continuously, as I hear his voice, he said, what I am, that will my servants be. As I'm walking with him, the Spirit is leading me. I fulfill his will in my life. It is not just thing I do that brings the fellowship. It's what Jesus did that brings me into that fellowship. Because the Lord says, stop, go back and explain it. Because they think that, am I supposed to be behaving anyhow? I say, no. It is that fellowship that brings you into perfect fellowship with him. That fellowship that makes me, if I want to say something, he says, no. If I want to go to the right, he says, no. If I talk to him wrongly, he says, the way you talk to your brother, no. If I want to do this, he said, no. He directs me in the path. The Lord is my shepherd. His rod and his staff does what? Comforts me. Guides me with comfort, not with force. Guides me into green pastures where I feed on the word of God and drink of the power of God, the water, still waters, signifying the Holy Spirit. Green pastures signifying the word of God. It guides me into the word of God. What God's will, God's wisdom, in the water of God, the Spirit of God powers me in fellowship with him, in tandem with him. Can I hear amen? When you walk with a child, what do? He stays close fellowship with you. You hold him. But if that child, boom, he gets lost. So let's go back now to understand Leviticus 1:1. The Lord called to Moses out of the tent of meeting and said to him, say to Israelites, when any man of you brings an offering to the Lord, you shall bring your offering of domestic animals from the herd or from the flock. Do you understand up to this point? Okay, I'm reading Amplified. Okay, so what verse is it? Verse what? Verse 3. Verse what? It's not 3, it's 3. Verse 3. Verse 3. If his offering is a what? Burnt offering from the herd, he shall offer a male without Jesus Christ, God's Lamb, without blemish. He shall offer it at the doorway of the tent. He's not entering. He's at the doorway. He's not entering. Coming into his presence by faith in Christ. So he says, he shall offer it at the doorway of the tent of the meeting so that he may be what? Accepted before the Lord. So he can now enter, be accepted. The only thing that makes him accepted is that offering. Church. The only thing that gives that man access to enter now is that offering. That lamb, that animal without blemish. The only thing that gives you access to God is that offering. Is that lamb of God without blemish. Can somebody say amen? That's what I told you. The next verse. He shall lay his hand. Listen to this. Very, very true. Doc, come. I hope your mind, your wife won't mind if I lay my hands and transfer my iniquities on you. So he shall lay his what? Hand on the head of the burnt offering, transferring symbolically his what? Guilt to the sacrifice, that it may be accepted for him to make an atonement on his behalf. So he brings me. I hope my wife is not looking. I'm the animal you bring. Okay. No, you the animal.
I'm the animal.
Okay, fine. No, okay, I'm the animal. So he brings me, and then remember we're still at the entrance. So we have not entered. Well, if you come for Easter, we will talk about the necessity of the secrets of God. So he brings him at the entrance, and then he lays him as a sacrifice. Then he puts his two hands. What did he say he does? Then he to transfer all his what? Guilt and sin onto this animal. So when he does that, then what will happen? It may be accepted for him to make an atonement on his behalf. Now, if he does that, who carries the sin now? Don't point at me, my friend. Look at you. Point at me. Point at me. So what happens to him now? He enters. How does he go boldly? Because now, on this animal here, he led it, he transferred everything that would have been problem between him and God. It's on this animal. So he goes boldly. The only reason he goes there is because this animal has taken over all his guilt and all his sin. Thank you, Doc. Do you get what I'm saying? Let's look at Isaiah 53:6. Isaiah 53:6. Let's see what God laid on Christ. Isaiah 53:6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. What did the Lord do? The Lord had what? Laid on him. The what? All I knew. See? The same way God used that animal to illustrate it. You lay hands on the animal, you say you transfer on him your iniquity, you go free. You say the Lord now transferred our iniquity and guilt on him. He is the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the whole world. The Lord came, laid it on him for me and who else? So now that he has laid it on him, can I go? I'm asking you. So what gives me the boldness to go? He carried my iniquity. He carried my sins. So I can go. Let's read that scripture again. Isaiah 53 verse 6. All we like sheep. So in case you say you're not part of it, say no, all of us. All we like sheep have what? Gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own. Then what did God do? And the Lord had laid on him. Church, no, let's take it. The Lord had laid what? On him. What did the Lord lay on him? The iniquity of how many people? That's why it is only by faith in Christ you come. Can't come any other way. Church, I'm telling you, I'm begging you. Don't play this self-righteousness games thinking you go there because you're good. No. We are not good. He is good. God laid my iniquity on him. Late. It's okay, Brother O'Kay is here. Brother O'Kay shared with me now. Brother O'Kay, you know you're my friend, so I can talk about you. I'll talk about you. Share with me here how the Lord told me, said, you don't have any righteousness at all. He said, no man has any righteousness. Am I right? He said, the Lord told me, he said, you don't have any righteousness. You don't have it. He said, no man has it. Why? Is any man that has no sin? No. God laid on him that Lamb of God. That sacrifice of Calvary. Behold the Lamb of God, upon whom God laid my iniquities, laid my sin. Now, if I come with evil heart of unbelief, it's when I doubt this. When I don't believe this. The Bible says, separate me from the living God. Because what I'm saying is that this is not for me. This laying, Lord, is not for me. I have another thing that I depend on. The Bible says, it separates you from God. Because the only reason you come, because God laid on him all your iniquities. There's no other reason. When you go to pray, remember these things. Remember these things. So Bible calls it the new and living way that God made for us now. The blood answers all this evil conscience thing. Because when you know that the blood was shed for you, that God laid on him your iniquities, your conscience will become bold. Will become bold, and your faith will be strong in him. Praise the Lord. Okay. So, there are people who are self-righteous. They will not accept that. Because they are proud.
They're proud. How can they not? How can you take away their boasting? You can't take away their boasting. So they want to boast of their goodness and their righteousness and all these things. They talk about the cross with only this. But in reality, their faith is not on the cross. Because action speaks louder than words. They go to God trusting in what they've done, not in the work of Jesus. And he separates them. Sometimes it's how many days they fasted, they bring. Sometimes what they give, they bring. Sometimes they say to God, after all this thing I'm doing for you, bring all those things. After serving you, Lord, see what's happening to me. That's why he won't talk to you. That's the reason. Your evil heart of unbelief. That's the reason. That heart is evil. Because it doesn't trust in the living, in the Son of God, the Lamb of God that took away his sins. He went to God showing God, after all this, I have done. I have done. No, you don't come by what you've done. You come by what he has done. Church, if you can transit here, I guarantee you, you will see wonders. You will see wonders. Things we struggle with, we shouldn't struggle with them because it's paid for. And look at what Paul said in Philippians 3:9. And become one with him. Philippians 3:9. And become one with him. I no longer count on my own what? Oh, church, you are not reading with me. I no longer count on my own what? Through obeying the law. Because that's not what brings me into his presence. Because my iniquity was laid on him. Because, you know, if you go through the law, nobody's perfect. The law condemns everybody. And that's why they call it the ministry of death. So he says, I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in who? Christ. For God's way of making us right with himself depends entirely on faith. He laid on him all my iniquities. Case closed. So I go boldly, trusting in the Son of God, trusting in his blood. Praise the Lord. 1 John 1:5-10 focuses on how you can have fellowship with God that is not based on your righteousness. It focuses on that thing. And it says, and this is the message, I'm reading Amplified. This is the message, am I communicating anything at all? This is the message of promise which we have heard from him. And now I'm reporting to you. God is light, and there is no darkness in him at all. No, not in any way. So if we say we are partakers together and enjoy fellowship with him, when we live and walk and move and are walking about in darkness, we are both speaking falsely and do not live and practice the truth, which the gospel presents. But if we really are living and walking in the light as he himself is in the light, we have true unbroken fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us, removes us from all sin and guilt, keeps us clean from sin in all its forms and manifestations. If we say we have no sin, if we say we have what? Refusing to admit that we are sinners. We delude and lead ourselves astray. And the truth, which the gospel presents, is not in us. That's what Paul was saying. I don't want the righteousness that is from me. I cannot come before God and declare to God that I'm sinless. He said, I'm not going to do that. That scripture is saying that if you want to have an unbroken fellowship with God, you must understand you can't come on your own performance because you have sinned. He says, if you deny you have no sin, you are making the gospel a lie. You are walking in darkness. You are not walking in the light of the gospel. He says, if you want fellowship with him, you got to come back and walk in this light that says, only through the gospel, only through the cross, only through the Son of God, that a man can have peace with God. 24/7. And if we say we have no sin, he said we delude ourselves. Can any of us here stand up here and say, I have no sin? Put your hand up. That's what is challenging us. He said, if we say we have no sin, we are deceiving that the truth is not, we are not acknowledging the truth about us. And he said, the reason I'm writing this thing to you, because of time, I'm cutting it down. The reason I'm writing this thing to you is so that you be in fellowship so you don't sin anymore. This fellowship will make you not to sin. See, that's why I'm writing this thing, how to be in fellowship with him, is to come to him based on what he's done, what the gospel has presented you. See, that's why I'm writing you this. So you sin no more. So that you'll be able to walk in fellowship with him. So he'll keep you going. He'll guide you. He will teach you. He will instruct you in the way you will go. Have you gone home? If you are here, shout hallelujah. 1 John 2:1. My little children, I write you these things. Why, John, are you telling me this? So that you may not violate God's law and sin. That's why I'm writing all these things to you, how to walk in fellowship with him. So you don't violate God's law and sin. But if any man should sin, no, we still have an advocate, one who will intercede for us with the Father. It is Jesus Christ, the all-righteous, upright, just, who conforms to the Father's will in every purpose, thought, and action. And he, that same Jesus himself, is the propitiation, the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for us, ours alone, but also for the sins of what? He said, the reason I'm telling you that you need this fellowship, and the way to this fellowship is not to come standing and saying, God, I'm sinless. This fellowship is saying, no. No, you're deceiving yourself. Then you come in the light of the gospel, which is what we're teaching this morning. The mediator between man and God is Christ. That's what we're teaching. When you come by faith in Christ, he says your fellowship is assured, and through this fellowship you will sin no more. It will guide you, will strengthen you, it will lighten your understanding, it will show you things, it will explain things to you. And then you won't walk in deceit of Satan. Now, I want to go back and read Luke chapter 18. Because our Lord Jesus Christ taught this. I'm going to close with this. Have I made any point this one? Did you get what I'm saying? Can I hear amen if you heard me? Luke 18 from verse 1. And he spake a parable unto them. To this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Which means he's encouraging us to continue in this fellowship, in sharing with him, dialoguing with him. Prayer is not a religious thing. We made it religious, and it has become stressful to people. That's why people don't pray. Because it has become so stressful, they don't get results. So Jesus said, no, you shouldn't give up on prayer. Prayer still works. And they're saying, there was a city. Now, this teaching here is on prayer and then self-righteousness. That's what it's emphasizing, that the thing that frustrates our prayer is self-righteousness. He said, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of my what? Adversary. And he will not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet, because this widow does what? Okay. You're not following me. I'm faster than you. Uh-huh. I'm in verse 5. Yet, because this widow, what? So I'm not giving him willingly. It's to avoid her trouble. So stop bothering me. So it troubled me. I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming, she will what? She's troubling me. I don't want this trouble. Come, what do you want me to do? An unwilling answer from a heartless man. Now, let's continue to read. Verse 6. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall not God avenge his own elect? Now, you see, people read this portion I read. They take it and say, you see, importunity in prayer. It's not true. Has nothing to do with that. See, the Bible says, see, this widow came all the time. So you too should come. Is God the wicked man like that man? The Bible says that man doesn't care about human beings. But God cares about you. Then the scripture says, cast your burdens upon the Lord for he. You think God answers prayer unwillingly because you forced him? When God says to you, don't bring me an unwilling offering, how do you think God will also do unwilling stuff? Don't ever use this thing to teach anybody anything. That's not what he's saying about. That's not what he's teaching about. It's, Jesus is saying, even wicked people, if you weary them, they'll come and give you, but God is not like them. So this wicked man who doesn't care about God, doesn't respect any human being, neither God nor man, gave out of compulsion, say, this woman is wearing me. I don't want trouble here. You think when you pray, God will say, this man is bothering me. Let me give him, let him go. I have peace. That's not love. So it's not talking about importunity or anything. Let's read the next verse. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. This is an unjust man. Is God unjust? This is an unjust judge. And shall not God avenge his own what? Elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them. I tell you that he will avenge them how? I didn't hear you. What is speedily? Quickly. He said, they pray all the time. They day and night, they're calling on him. He said, God will answer you quickly. Why? Is it not God that said, ask and I will give? Quickly. What does quickly mean? Eddie, what does quickly mean? Eddie said, God will answer you how? Quickly. Did you read the scripture? He said, before you finish asking, I have what? Answered. Before you finish. And this is the thing that created this evil heart of unbelief that makes us think God is hard and wicked, and it's demonic teaching. Present God as a Satan and not as a loving father who cares about me, who wants to help me, who came and died for me while I was a sinner. He gave me his son. He said, what will I not give you? I gave you my son. You were a sinner. You didn't like me. You didn't want me. I gave you my son. He said, yeah, I gave you my son. He asked this question. What will I not give? What will I not give? So when people pray, they don't expect anything because they've been told, you know, God is hard to deal with. It's a lie from the pit of hell. Jesus said he will answer you how? No. Say it aloud. He will answer you how? I want to hear you say it. He will answer you how? I need you. Come louder. He will answer you how? I didn't hear you. You answer you how? Tell your neighbor how he will answer him. Say it louder. Come on. Speedily. God will answer you speedily. It was one sister here that was sharing with us on Thursday. He said, ever since somebody told me that if you pray and believe, the thing is there. He said, I've been practicing it. It's working for me. It has never stopped working. How many of you had her? How many of you had that? She stood there. He said, it works for me all the time. I said, yeah, that's what Jesus said. What things ever you desire, when you pray, believe you have had them. He said, it shall be yours. I think Jesus is telling a lie. God will answer you speedily if it's his will. He said, if you ask anything according to my will, you got it. So it's a confidence you should have in prayer. This confidence, this will is what he paid for. All these things he paid for. Paid for healing. Paid for this. Paid for that. It's all yours. Praise the Lord. I say praise the Lord. I didn't hear you. I say praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Paid for. You have prepaid card in your hand. All this importunity, I don't know where it came from. Then he went to talk about the second thing. The second thing is self-righteousness. Verse, what was the verse I read last? Then verse 9. Verse 8. He said, I'll tell you that he will avenge them how? Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, will he find faith? Will he find you in faith? Are you going to be in faith? Are you going to be in unbelief? What will he find you? He said, giving, I'm giving, but will I find you? Because without faith, faith is the hand you receive. He said, if I come with this thing, when the Son of Man cometh, with that thing, will I find you in faith? Evil heart of unbelief. Will I find you expecting it? It's mine. Then the next thing he did, this is the last one I want to deal with. And he spake this parable unto certain who trusted what? In themselves that they were righteous. These are the goody goodies, the righteous guys. They are so good. They know what they do. And despised others. Verse 10. Two men went up into the temple to pray. Two men. They came into the church to pray. Two men. Why did they go to pray? Into this church. The one is a Pharisee Christian. Mohammed put it correctly. He said Pharisees because they are far and they don't see. Pharisee, they are far and they don't see the truth. So then the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. Oh my God, with himself. God must recognize me. Ah! You know how I serve him here? Does he even know how long? This church, we started it. God. With himself. God, that's the way he started. God. How did he start? God. I thank you that I'm not other men. These men, you see, they are extortioners, they are unjust, they are adulterers, or even as this brother that came into this church now. Because I know him very well. What a good Christian. Verse 12, then he brought up his resume. I fast how many times? And if need be, I do 40 days. 100. They boast about the number of days they fast. How many hours they pray? How many? You hear these things all over the place. Each time I hear that, I just feel so bad. You don't have to advertise anything. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the public, all this resume he's giving is about what he does. Am I right? Church, am I right? Now this brother comes in. You know his name? Brother Chinedu Emmanuel. He comes in. I don't want to call you the other brother. You're looking at me. Brother Chinedu Emmanuel comes in. He didn't even enter. Out there. You know, Brother Chinedu Emmanuel, a very quiet man. Don't worry about me, I'm just pulling your legs. Verse, what verse? 13. And the publican, standing where? Afar off, will not lift up as so much as his eyes unto heaven. That's what Faith John is writing. If you say you have no sin, you are deceiving yourself. You can't come to God with this arrogance and braggadocio of who I am. He said, you won't have fellowship. You come with humility. You come making yourself nothing so that Jesus is everything. And then he says, he would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God be what? Merciful to me. That's his name. And then the Lord told us whose prayer was answered right there. I tell you, this man went down to his house, what? Justified, rather than the other. For everyone that exalted himself shall be what? Abased. And he that humbled himself shall be what? God laid on him the iniquity was. You go humbly and say, yes, Lord. Without this, I'm done. I'm finished. I don't have any other thing I bring here. So I'm coming trusting him. He's my all. He's my confidence. He's my way to you. He's my guarantor that I can come. So I'm coming boldly, trusting in him, trusting in his blood, trusting in what he did. There is nothing I do that can bring me before you. And the Bible said, then you are sure of fellowship. Praise the Lord. It's a very simple thing to do. It's a paradigm shift. Paradigm shift. I want you to bow your heads and think.